Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A new week starts right here, right now, live on a Monday morning on the early line on Sports Grid and all across the Sports Grid network. That includes sportsgrid.com/watch, where you can find your favorite destination to consume everything all across the grid. He is Donnie Wrightside. I'm Ben Stevens. We are here together for the next 3 hours up until 11 a.m. Eastern time to sit in the armchair on Christmas week and look back on a monumental football weekend that was a huge weekend in the National Football League, with just two more Sundays after yesterday to figure out everything that needs to be determined into the postseason. We'll look back on a Sunday slate, a doubleheader of NFL action on a Saturday in what might have been one of the greatest football days we have seen, at least on paper, with a triple header in the college football playoff on Saturday and a game on Friday night to recap the first ever opening round of the first ever 12-team college football playoff. We'll talk victory margin, brother, on this Monday. So much to get into, DRS, over these next 3 hours up until 11 a.m.
Mondays are tremendous. Absolutely love them. My Philadelphia Eagles suffered a loss yesterday, but how big of a loss was it? We'll get to that a little bit later. And also, I just want to say this, because the PSAs, Ben, need to be said to the people. I couldn't believe the crying from these college football games on Friday and Saturday, with people actually saying you should only have a 4-team playoff. Why waste all of these spots? Home field advantage. This is what you play for, home field advantage. Understand this, people. As I put out tweets there, sort of combat that, Ben. Oh, the playoffs in every other sport are better. Every single sport, every single playoff has blowouts here. It's just the way it is. You know what we like, Ben? Meaningful football. Both teams lining up full schedule in an atmosphere that's a lot of fun, with anticipation to watch. I loved every single game from the college football playoff and the NFL this weekend. Why? Because when games matter, it's more fun. That's all I'm going to say. We'll get to more later.
DRS, that is very well said, my friend. It is almost those, the champion expansion or the idea of more opportunity to contend for a national championship that made not just this Saturday in December, but every single Saturday from the end of August through this part of December, that much more important as well. It's almost like those who love to critique college football don't actually love watching college football. A very weird conundrum, DRS, that we will dive through, of course, in our reactions to the CFP for the first ever time in a 12-team field. But before we get there, let's look back on Sunday, that ended on a Sunday night at the Star. Earlier in the afternoon, the Dallas Cowboys eliminated from postseason consideration. So would the Cowboys, in an otherwise disastrous year, just pack up and go home against the Buccaneers team that desperately needed a win to stay in pole position in the NFC South? The answer to that question, no. Dallas wins its second home game of the year outright as a 4.5-point underdog, 26-24 over the Bucs. Dallas able to play spoiler, and because of the loss for Tampa, the Falcons now in the driver's seat in the NFC South.
Absolutely, and that's a big loss for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and it is an even worse win for the Dallas Cowboys. You bozos. What, like, play spoiler at this time in the NFL. Idiots. We're going to get to another team that's right in my crosshairs that resides in Las Vegas celebrating victories when every single fan, including your owner and Tom Brady in the booth, was rooting for losses. But let's focus here on the Dallas Cowboys 26-24. Yeah, solid victory. Cooper Rush was fine. 26-35, 292, a touchdown, and no interception. They actually were the better team last night. Had a furious comeback for the Buccaneers. Came up short because why? They had turnovers here. The Buccaneers still have a chance to win that division, but boy, that was a bad loss, and they were in the driver's seat. No longer in the driver's seat because a rookie quarterback in Atlanta now is that new pilot and driver. But the Dallas Cowboys, like, as a fan, if you are a Cowboys fan, you have to be furious waking up today. And as an Eagles fan, as an NFC East fan, I think it's hilarious. Yeah. The Cowboys won to go 7-8. Congratulations.
Yeah, DRS, some just comparison, right? You mentioned the Raiders, who they win yesterday against the Jags, now have a worse draft position. The New York Giants sitting pretty to select number one overall. But the Raiders were playing the three-win Jags across from them at home. The Cowboys in a disastrous season playing a playoff team and probably hoping for a loss, but they are professionals and came up with an outright victory. Best game of the day on a Sunday outside the nation's capital in Landover, and it was a wild one between the Commanders and the Eagles. Washington snaps Philly's 10-game win streak to keep the Birds from claiming the NFC East at least for another week and to hamper, Donnie, Philadelphia's chances of that one seed in the NFC. The Commanders went outright 36-33 as a 3.5-point home underdog.
Yeah, normally in my younger years, I would have been devastated from this game and just been on an absolute tirade coming onto a program to try to talk about it. Washington was better yesterday because Jaden Daniels was phenomenal when it counted. But also, let's remind ourselves, the Philadelphia Eagles, with a simple pitch and catch, win that football game. Devonta Smith, one of the most sure-handed wide receivers in football, dropped an easy one. Saquon Barkley back, you know, week 1, week 2 of the season, drops one against the Atlanta Falcons. They lost those games. But also, understand this, and this isn't just me being an Eagles optimist. I'm a realist at this point. The Eagles probably weren't going to get the number one overall seed, but you know what they were going to do, Ben? Have to play all 18 weeks of the season in order to try to figure that out. No buys here. Now it looks like the Eagles will be favored next week, depending on if Jalen Hurts comes back, Kenny Pickett's healthy. They'll probably win that game anyway against the Dallas Cowboys. They might now be able to take that bye week, week 18, and rest their key players before they head to the playoffs. If you remember last year, for what and God knows reason, they played their starters, got a broken finger out of Jalen Hurts, and lost A.J. Brown to a knee injury. Then got blown out by Tampa Bay. So this might work out actually in the Eagles' favor with that loss yesterday, if that makes sense.
All right, let's fire around the rest of our NFL recap here in 7-7. The Minnesota Vikings make it 8 straight.
Good
the
win.
Best and longest active win streak in the NFL right now. 27-24 in the Pacific Northwest against the Seahawks. Closing line, 2.5 points in favor of Minnesota. They cover with a big win, DRS, with big implications in that NFC playoff picture.
Yeah, trying to chase down that number one seed. Bad loss for the Seahawks. I can't say it's a bad loss. They lost to a good football team, but you got to win your games at home, something they haven't been doing now.
Yeah, absolutely so, DRS. A doubleheader of games on Saturday. The Ravens roll to even up the season series and keep hopes alive in the AFC North against the Pittsburgh Steelers. The flock win big, 34-17, closing as a touchdown favorite at home. The Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes. The ankle looked pretty good. More than 30 rushing yards for Mahomes as the Chiefs hold off Houston, winning 27-19, covering as a 3.5-point home favorite.
Yeah, by the way, on the Chiefs end of it here, like, Mahomes should be a wrestler. I mean, completely selling injuries as if he's actually injured. The guy's not injured, man. Stop. Like, I actually applaud him and would give him an Academy Award at this point. He's not injured. He just plays injured because it looks cool. I'm down with that now.
KC is less than a touchdown favorite this year, now 6-2 against the spread. As we talked about, the opening round of the first ever 12-team college football playoff, all four favorites win by double digits and cover a number. A perfect 4-0 against the spread. Notre Dame on Friday. Penn State big in-state college. Texas wins by 2 touchdowns against Clemson. And Ohio State absolutely routes Tennessee at the Shoe.
Home field advantage is such a big advantage as you saw it play out here. So congratulations to the guys that got the bye. You don't get home field advantage. Make it make sense.
We'll talk about the format, what we should actually fix, and what we should appreciate about the college football playoff later on in our second hour. As expected, Steve Belichick will join his father, Bill, as North Carolina's new defensive coordinator. There was a show on HBO called Succession. Same thing happening in Chapel Hill.
What son had a better weekend? Tiger Woods' son Charlie with a hole-in-one, or a hole-in-one because your dad got you hired with a new job? Fantastic out there in the streets, huh?
I mean, listen, wherever it is, make it work. Charlie Woods did. Steve Belichick will look to do so with the Tar Heels. More from Sunday in the NFL and Saturday next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Week 16 around the National Football League. Not just a Sunday slate to review here on a Monday to kick off a new week on the early line, but a doubleheader on Saturday as well, with huge implications in either spot. Let's start with our second game of Saturday, DRS, in the Charm City. AFC North rivalry renewed between the Ravens and the Steelers. Pittsburgh winning the first game at home just over a month ago, with Russell Wilson under center, outright as an underdog. And in this rivalry, we always expect low-scoring games, close and competitive. Not so much on Saturday afternoon in Baltimore. The flock cruise to a three-score win, 34-17 over Pittsburgh. Baltimore covers as a touchdown favorite at home. Total of 44.5 does sky over. The Ravens DRS with the implications. Even up the season series against Pittsburgh. Both teams now 10-5. They both have the same record currently against divisional foes in the AFC North. The Steelers still sit atop the division based on conference win percentage as of this moment. But the Ravens keep their hopes of hosting a playoff game and winning the AFC North alive with a big win on Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, let's focus on the two aspects of this game. Russell Wilson making a great play with his legs, fumbling down by the goal line. You can't do that in a key game like this. Also, when your team gets you back into with a key interception, you can't then have another key interception yourself run back for a touchdown. But their passing game will improve. George Pickens coming back as your number one. He's really what made everything go during that win streak for the Steelers. I'm not worried about them. T.J. Watt will get healthy on that ankle. Deshaun Elliott will come back in that secondary. But let's focus on what matters here in the NFL, and that's the Baltimore Ravens. When they stick to the game plan, this is when you watch the Ravens and go, this team can win a Super Bowl because they have an MVP quarterback, a dominant ground game, and a defense that can make plays when you absolutely need to make plays. And look at Lamar Jackson, 15 of 23, three touchdown passes, did throw the one interception, which again was a bad interception, but a passer rating of 115, but limited opportunities, under 25 throws. Running game, 38 rushes for 220 yards, almost 6 yards per carry for the Baltimore Ravens. This is the recipe for success that we wish you would have saw last year in the AFC Championship game when you need to run the football at home in cold weather. This is why the Ravens in any given environment can win, and no matter where they are at home or in the playoffs on the road, nobody's going to say, oh, the Ravens, no way, they can't win that football game. Because when the game plan is as sound as it was against a good Steelers team, this is what you look forward to if you're betting Ravens tickets going, if I can just get that same game plan, we can beat anybody, anywhere, at any time, Ben.
Yeah, DRS, I think it's a really good point. And when you look at the numbers from Saturday, it was exactly that. Derrick Henry, a monster on the ground once again. 24 carries, 162 yards. Did not hit pay dirt, but still incredibly successful. Lamar Jackson outside of that bad interception early in the fourth quarter after the Ravens had denied Pittsburgh on fourth down. Outside of that, 3 touchdowns, 207 yards. He hasn't thrown for a ton of yards against the Steelers defense this year, but after his worst game in the first matchup in the Steel City, to bounce back with multiple passing touchdowns once again was impressive. And DRS, that was kind of the key moment of the game. Pittsburgh at the very end of the third quarter, bleeding over very early into the opening seconds of the fourth, try to convert near midfield to keep their drive alive on fourth down. They were not able to. 2 plays later, Lamar Jackson looking for the deep ball, picked off by that Steelers defense. But then just a few plays after that, Marlon Humphrey picks off Russell Wilson and takes it back to the house. That made it a 2-touchdown game. The Steelers did not score again. Baltimore this year has been booked as a favorite, DRS, in every single game since that season debut in Arrowhead against Kansas City. They're now, when you look at where they stand, 8-5-1 against the spread. The Ravens also over in 12 of 15 games this year. Highest over percentage, most overs around the National Football League in 2024.
That's what makes it so maddening. This team shouldn't have 5 losses on the season. The talent is way too high. And yes, some of those losses were a little bit of a calamity, which includes that game number one against his Kansas City Chiefs, where you just get a toe in bounds. You probably go for 2. You win that game and off and away you go. But this is why the Baltimore Ravens are so interesting to watch, because they're built for going to Buffalo in colder weather to win. They're built to go to AFC, you know, champions is what it looks like. It's probably going to be set up to be the Kansas City Chiefs out there. You always still bank on this one thing. As good as you see the Ravens perform, like you just saw them against the Pittsburgh Steelers, who are a quality opponent, you still have that little notion in the back of your head like, oh no, I know it's going to creep into the playoffs where Lamar is going to not make that easy pass. He's going to throw an interception he never should have thrown here. But these are the glimpses that give you, because it's not as if it's like, well, we've never seen Lamar play well. He's a 2-time MVP already with a legitimate chance to win a third if it wasn't so much for Josh Allen and the way he's been playing football. He was wonderful on Saturday outside of that interception. If, again, you can just get this Lamar Jackson and this game plan, they can beat anybody and find their way into the Super Bowl. But as I said, as a handicapper, a gambler, and also a fan, I've watched way too many times them get to the playoffs and a good defensive coordinator just scheme against Lamar, going like, yep, this is what happens every year. An unbelievable terror in the regular season disappears in the playoffs.
Yeah, and DRS, it's really interesting as well because of the implications. If the season were to end today, Pittsburgh would be that top team in the AFC North, claiming the division, still hosting a playoff game. The Ravens would have to go on the road, despite what the odds makers are telling us within the AFC North. They have the same record. The season series is tied, 1 win apiece. Same divisional record at this moment, but Pittsburgh has a better conference win percentage than that of Baltimore. So the Steelers still hold the tiebreak as of this moment. Why are the Ravens a minus money favorite then? Well, one of the reasons both teams played on Saturday is because both teams will be featured on our Christmas slate on a short week on Wednesday. The Steelers, a slight home underdog hosting the Chiefs. The Baltimore Ravens, more than a field goal favorite, albeit on the road in Houston against the Texans.
Yeah, one team has 2 layups to end the season, which looks like it's going to be the Baltimore Ravens. When you look at their finish to the schedule, you have an injured Texans team that's already clinched their playoff spot. Then the final week of the season, you got the Cleveland Browns, who are just hoping to get a higher draft pick at that point. Yeah. You flip it over to the Pittsburgh Steelers, they're going to get the best punch you can at the Chiefs. Why? Because they need it to secure that number one seed. And then if you go to week 18, the Bengals probably still need that game if there's any hope for them to get into the playoffs at this point. So it is a little bit of tough sledding for the Pittsburgh Steelers. But both of those games, Ben, at home. That'll help the Steelers.
Christmas Day, but before that, the first game on Saturday. Next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A doubleheader of NFL action to kick off the weekend in week number 16 on Saturday. In Arrowhead, it was the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes making a start despite just 6 days earlier suffering what appeared to be a significant high right ankle sprain. He practiced all week. He was set to start. He did, and he led Kansas City to a big victory at home, 27-19 over the Houston Texans. The Chiefs cover as a 3.5-point home favorite. Total of 41.5 does sky over. DRS, you were skeptical of the high right ankle sprain to Patrick Mahomes by the time we got deeper into the week, not even with the idea that, oh, hopefully based on rehab, Mahomes would be ready to give it a shot on Saturday in pregame warmups and see if he could go. He was a full participant all week at practice. Normally, even a minor ankle sprain, not a mild high ankle sprain, you should sit on your tush for a couple of days and rest those feet. Not Mahomes, not on Saturday, had 33 yards on the ground, and the Chiefs win a huge game to put them just one victory away from claiming the AFC's number one overall seed once again.
Yeah, it was running right away in this football game. A 15-yard touchdown run that he had. So he had 5 carries for 33 yards. And on a bad ankle, he threw 41 times. And Ben, not out of necessity. It wasn't like, hey, man, we were down 2 touchdowns the whole game. I had no choice but to fight through it and throw the football. Like, no, that was their game plan here. So apparently he wasn't really injured at all is how I'm going to play it, because he played Saturday on a short week, and then he's going to get an even shorter week, and he's going to play on the road against the Pittsburgh Steelers in cold environments. Really hard to wake that ankle up. And anytime you get any nicks, bumps, or bruises in the cold, it magnifies it. He was just fine in that game, and so were the Kansas City Chiefs, who now sit at 14-1. And the key here, Ben, 8-0 at home, which is where they're going to be for the holidays and throughout that run. So get ready again, as we love on, you know, Radio Row and Press Row and just doing shows where every single year we used to talk about the Patriots and how boring it was that they got back to the Super Bowl. The Chiefs, once again this year, will be back into the Super Bowl. And how about Hollywood Brown coming back? First game that he's played this season, 5 catches for 45 yards, 8 targets, his long catch of a 20, adds to that wide receiver room, which now has steady veterans, speed to get downfield. If Kelsey can wake up from his non-wise self like he did in the playoffs this year, now we got a formidable offense. And who cares if those left or right tackles are even healthy, because Patrick Mahomes will make plays no matter what. But also understand this. You've gotten a lot of good breaks for the Kansas City Chiefs all season long, with crazy plays and crazy scenarios, which included, and Doc's going to come on later, Tank Dell, 6 catches for 98 yards and a touchdown. Yeah. He basically caught the game-tying touchdown, then iced the kicker because he was injured and missed the extra point. But also, Tank Dell was a menace in that game. Who knows what he would have finished with? He goes down injured, momentum flicks back to Kansas City, and they win that ball game going away. They are just living the charmed life right now, being very good at what they do and getting every break possible, which is why they're 14-1.
Yeah, a very unfortunate and scary scene on Saturday for Tank Dell, who caught that touchdown pass, but on that touchdown catch collided into by his teammate a dislocated kneecap, which is a serious and significant knee injury that will make a lot of rehab for Tank Dell to return to the football field. You saw the ambulance onto the field. You saw his teammates, specifically CJ Stroud, overwhelmed with emotion. An unfortunate scene on Saturday, to say the least. Now, for Kansas City, who this year again, as less than a touchdown favorite, are 6-2 against the spread, 14 wins the RS for KC, 11 by a single score. And the Chiefs, at this point last week, as we led off the show, discussing their 2 touchdown victory in Cleveland, but the incident for Mahomes with 8 minutes remaining in regulation, limping off the field. Would the Chiefs maintain that number one overall seed in the AFC? Would Mahomes play again in the regular season? He's played. They win. They need just one more win to claim that number one overall seed. And DRS, as you alluded to last year, you give the Chiefs the benefit of the doubt. But last year, they had to go on the road for the first time to get to a Super Bowl. This year, more than likely, as you see that minus 900 number, you welcome everybody back to Arrowhead with an additional bye week throughout the opening round of the postseason.
And that's what it looks like. See that number one seed graphic, minus 900. We were talking about minus like 180, minus 175 last week, and now it's all the way up. Why? Because Mahomes is healthy and not injured, and they won that football game. And it looks like there's probably a good chance that they'll be able to beat the Pittsburgh Steelers on the road and or the Denver Broncos to claim that number one overall seed, then rest up on a bye week and be home at Arrowhead, which is damn near impossible to beat the Kansas City Chiefs. Things are looking like, look, all year long, hey, we don't think they're the most talented team. Well, they do have the best record. That's all that matters.
I don't understand how the Chiefs are not the favorites in the AFC. We'll discuss that next.
Yeah.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We'll get to the Sunday slate in the best game of the day, both entering and in what we actually saw outside the nation's capital in just mere moments. But DRS, as we go back to Saturday. The Chiefs, a big win at home, 27-19 against the Houston Texans. KC now just one win away from holding off Buffalo and claiming the number one overall seed. What a difference 6 days can make, because at this point last week, we thought the Chiefs might be in danger of having to go on the road in the postseason, not have the opening round bye, and would we see Mahomes fully healthy until the playoffs? Of course, that is no longer the case. Despite the fact that KC is 14-1. Yes, 11 of the 14 by a single score, often inventing new and creative ways to win a football game. The Chiefs are minus 900 to win the number one overall seed. The Chiefs are plus 210 to win the AFC. That is 10 cents behind the Buffalo Bills. The Chiefs are not a favorite to win the AFC, despite the fact the Chiefs, as of right now, are going to walk into that number one overall seed. Donnie, that doesn't make any sense. Well, you could say, hey, they've done it by hook and crook this year, barely hanging on to victories. They don't look nearly as good as Buffalo or Baltimore or whoever you want to throw out there at certain points this year. And maybe I would agree. But we are talking about a playoff ticket to cash a conference championship number to play in a Super Bowl. And who has done that more than the Chiefs in the last 6 years? The answer is nobody. What about the Buffalo Bills having lost to the Chiefs 3 of the 4 previous years in the postseason tells you that Buffalo has earned the benefit of the doubt to win the AFC? What about the 2-4 playoff record of Lamar Jackson tells you the Ravens should be even close to the Chiefs as a Super Bowl or AFC contender? It makes zero sense. And thus, I guess, DRS, the Chiefs are somehow, some way, providing you value again.
There's rooting and there's handicapping. We can all root against the Chiefs because I do. It's sure. Boring. And, you know, the team that you don't want to see continuously continue to win, let somebody else have a chance. Let's get more excitement in here. And then there's handicapping by going like, who out there, when the Chiefs are going to hit the number one overall seed, get the only bye in the AFC, and let's just say they line up against both, which they can't, trust me, the way it's probably going to fill up. But I just want to play hypotheticals. You get 1 week, you're going to get the Bills, and 1 week the Ravens, which again, it's not going to happen, but I'm just saying that. You're going to be like, yeah, there's no way they can do that. They did that last year on the road. Like, why are we doubting the Kansas City Chiefs, who are perfect at home? And we always talk about this. Andy Reid off a bye. Nobody better in history. Guess what? They're going to have a bye. So you can automatically put them into the AFC Championship game. And then you're going to say, like, finally, the Buffalo Bills are going to wind up in the AFC Championship game and vanquish all those ghosts on the road at Kansas City in the playoffs. No, you're not. And are you going to bet on that? And also, if it's the Buffalo Bills -1.5, which I don't think is going to be, it's like, hey, oh, Patrick Mahomes is getting points at home in the AFC Championship game when he's healthy with Andy Reid, and you're going to bet against that? We'll root against that because I just want to see Buffalo and or Baltimore beat the Kansas City Chiefs just to give us something new. But as a handicapper, there's no way you're going to find me on AFC Championship Sunday watching the Kansas City Chiefs if they're healthy at home going like, now's the chance they're going to get beat now. They never get beat in that spot here. That's not what they do. Look at last, again, you went on the road against Buffalo. Ha! No way they win that game. Won it. You go on the road against the best team in the NFL in their own building in the Baltimore Ravens, and you beat them too. Then you wound up in the Super Bowl against the 49ers. You can't beat that talented team. They beat them as well. Are we done doubting Kansas City? They're home for the holidays. They will be in the Super Bowl this year.
As an underdog, by the way, in all three of those games that DRS mentioned from last year's postseason run, if the Chiefs are at home, to Donnie's point, fully healthy, I don't care. They're not going to be booked as an underdog. If they are, it will be one of the dumbest spreads you will ever see. Feel free to clip that if it ever happens. All right, DRS, now over to the NFC, where the Eagles entering week 16 seem to be in a pretty good spot, maybe to claim the one seed in that conference, given the injuries to the Detroit Lions. Philly, 3.5-point road favorite against the Commanders in the best game of Sunday. Early on in the opening quarter, Jalen Hurts on a run, gets hit, comes up a little wobbly, exits the game with a concussion. He never returned. Kenny Pickett in, didn't really matter early. All Saquon Barkley, over 100 yards on the ground in the first quarter. Midway through the opening half, the Eagles had a 21-7 lead. But then here comes Washington early in the fourth quarter, about 9 minutes left, the Commanders take a 28-27 lead. Under 4 minutes remaining, Jake Elliott for Philadelphia buries a 50-yard field goal. The Eagles back in front. The Commanders have a chance. All they need is a field goal. They're down by two. Jaden Daniels, oh, he looks like a rookie. The fifth turnover of the day for the Commanders. His second INT. The Eagles should be fine. They work the ball down into Washington territory, just over 2 minutes remaining, right before the two-minute warning. Third down play. There's Devontae Smith, wide open, over the middle. Kenny Pickett puts it on him. Devontae drops it. Thus, Washington gets the football back. Jaden Daniels leads them down the field. 9-yard touchdown pass. The second touchdown connection between Daniels and Jamison Crowder with just 6 seconds remaining. Number five for Washington. Overcomes 5 turnovers for his Commanders team. Throws 5 touchdown passes and leads a dramatic comeback. 36-33 DRS. Washington wins outright as that 3.5-point home dog.
Yeah, it was a good win by Washington. It was. And also, some of the key points here. The Philadelphia Eagles had multiple times of 2 touchdown leads in this game and gave it up, which is something the number one overall defense in the NFL is not actually supposed to do. But also, factoring in, I think it was 27-14, I want to say, and you saw Jaden Daniels on a 4th-and-11 play late third quarter scramble and juke 5 guys to get that first down to keep that drive alive. He was sensational when it mattered. But here's where the things go wrong again. NFL games, as we know, game of inches, as we like to say. They come down to singular plays. A pitch and catch, a short slant pass, an easy catch of Devontae gets down. You waste the net 2 minutes off the clock. You probably kick a field goal, but you give the Washington, you know, squad, what, 10 seconds max to go the length of the field for a touchdown? Probably not going to do that. But I do credit Jaden Daniels. He was running a pretty good deal out there in that fourth quarter, making plays off script and making plays happen, which I was really impressed with. Let's focus on the Philadelphia Eagles from a standpoint that not a lot of people talk about. Kenny Pickett was good enough to win that game. Saquon Barkley ran well enough to win that game. The defense, even though it gave a lot of points, forced 5 turnovers. That's good enough to win the game. But you know what isn't talked about? Every time in a high-scoring game Washington got the football in a kickoff bend, it felt like they returned it back to the 50 every single time. Like, look at the final drive of the game. Like, hey, let's hold up. Usually you kick the ball out of the back of the end zone. They get the ball in the 25, 30-yard line, whatever, and you got to go the length of the field. They started that drive at midfield because of a bad kickoff and not understanding the rules of the kickoff where the Eagles actually went offsides. Time and time again, the Eagles just gave Washington the football in great field position. I believe in the second half, the average starting point for the Washington Commanders was like the 45-yard line. You can't do that. It's like one first down and you're back in the field goal range. Bad loss for the Eagles, yes it was. Great win for the Commanders. But in the grand scheme of things, the Eagles will still be the number 2 seed. We always thought Washington was going to the playoffs. So not a lot was settled there outside of the Eagles could have clinched the NFC East Championship, and they didn't. They have to wait one more week to do that.
So I do want to get your thoughts on that in just a moment, but the 10-game win streak for Philadelphia does come to a close. Here's the head coach of the Birds, Nick Sirianni, on how it all went down.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, I have to be able to watch the tape and tell you everything what happened, but just sloppy, you know, sloppy with penalties, sloppy with too many men on the field, sloppy with our fundamentals. And when you play a good football team like we played today and you're sloppy, regardless of how many turnovers you force, you know, it's going to be hard to win. And I think, you know, what I said to those guys is like, when it's sloppy with every piece of that, that's always going to be on me as the head coach.
10 penalties for Philadelphia for more than 90 yards. The Eagles also turned it over twice in a couple of costly mistakes, as we saw with Devontae Smith there at the end, dropping a football that could have iced the game for the Eagles. What it means for the NFC playoff picture and the Offensive Rookie of the Year race on the other side of the break here on this Monday on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So, yesterday, a huge game within the NFC East. The Commanders post a dramatic comeback. They keep the Eagles for at least another week from winning the division. Philadelphia still in pole position with a victory over Dallas. This upcoming weekend, the Eagles will claim the NFC East. Jaden Daniels, 5 turnovers for his team. 2 thrown by Jaden Daniels in terms of INTs. but 5 touchdown passes, the game winner with under 10 seconds remaining, and was Washington's leading rusher with 81 yards on the ground. He is now minus 20,000. Let me make sure I have that number correctly. Yes, I do. Minus 20,000 DRS to win the Offensive Rookie of the Year award.
Yeah, no, and he should win that. And based on that performance over the weekend, and also, we were talking about this last week, was Bo Nix was going to win it and or Jaden Daniels, excuse me. So lining up is like, hey, is this over already? We're doing like some buy and sell stuff. And I'm like, I don't think it is, because there's a theoretical chance that Washington technically could lose out and Denver possibly could win out. That could change that. Well, you saw that great performance for Jaden Daniels once again in a clutch environment. Absolutely 1,000%, no question about it. He is going to be the Rookie of the Year.
We'll talk the Eagles moving forward. Yep. Saquon Barkley, 29 carries, 150 yards, 2 touchdowns yesterday. More than 100 of that in the opening quarter. He now needs 267 to match the record of Eric Dickerson set back in 1984. How much the Eagles need outside of this upcoming weekend that they would play Saquon Barkley? That's what Donnie will tell you in just moments. But obviously, DRS, if you are in the postseason hunt, every game the remainder of the way, significant implications for that playoff picture. Maybe not even just for your individual team. As we saw yesterday in the Pacific Northwest, the Vikings and the Seahawks. What a game it was. Minnesota triumphant, 27-24 on the road, covering as a slight 2.5-point road favorite. Total of 42.5 does go over. Sam Darnold has led the Vikings now to a 13-2 record in 8 consecutive wins. The longest active NFL win streak at this moment. And DRS, in the 13 wins this year for the Vikings, they are 10-2-1 against the spread. Sam Darnold, 39-yard touchdown pass and an absolute beauty to Justin Jefferson with under 4 minutes remaining in regulation to win the game for Minnesota. They picked off Geno Smith as the Seahawks had an opportunity maybe to tie it. That was never going to be the case. A huge win for the Vikes on the road in the Northwest.
I'll tell you what's crazy now. You look at the Seattle Seahawks, 8-7, had basically destiny in their hands. Let's keep on fighting. Now, they're not out of it just yet, but they're 3-6 at home this year. Like, that's one of the better home field advantages in football. Yeah. You can't do that. You're supposed to secure your home field here and pick up a couple wins on the road. It's almost the opposite for Seattle. Geno Smith wasn't terrible. Did throw 2 interceptions, but still threw for 314. Didn't get much help from the ground game. But here's the question also. Sam Darnold, again, started the year on fire, a little bit of a lull. He's right back to it, man. 3 touchdowns, no interceptions on the road, and probably the biggest game of your season just to try to keep up with the Detroit Lions and also help knock out a team in the Seattle Seahawks who desperately needs that game. And you always lean on your biggest superstars. 13 targets, 10 catches, 144 yards, and 2 touchdown catches for Justin Jefferson. We had Adam Kaplan on the desk yesterday, and the question I asked him was like, free agency coming up. And let's just say the Minnesota Vikings, who, again, there's a legitimate chance they can be the number one overall seed. And let's say they don't make the Super Bowl, but make the NFC Championship game. You're letting Sam Darnold, who's right in the prime of his career, leave the building after that season and that success on the team and just say, okay, JJ, we think you can do the same thing. There are some interesting thoughts and processes that must happen for the Vikings, because I think you got Sam Darnold as the veteran presence, start a couple games, hand it over to the young quarterback. But now he's playing like a legitimate starter, winning big-time football games, and he's 13-2 as a starter. And you're going to be like, hey, you know what? Thanks for the advice. Good luck in free agency. Wow.
Is it a good problem to have? This was not expected. The Vikings had a preseason win total of 7.5. They paid Sam Darnold 1 year, $10 million deal to come be that veteran savvy and experience for J.J. McCarthy. We'll see what happens now with the number 10 overall pick from this past April's draft, who, of course, is missing the remainder of this season or the entirety of this season with the torn meniscus, the knee injury he suffered in preseason week number 1 for the Vikes. Because it's not even by hook or crook, DRS, that Minnesota is doing this. And Sam Darnold is handing the ball off to Aaron Jones, who is going crazy. They're winning 17-14 every week. Sam Darnold yesterday, 246. 3 touchdowns. 5th time in the last 6 games for Minnesota, he has thrown for multiple passing touchdowns without an interception. And Justin Jefferson, after being made the highest paid non-quarterback in the NFL ever this offseason, that we all probably thought, all right, well, with Darnold or the rookie McCarthy, maybe the production takes a hit. No, 10 grabs, 144 yards, as you alluded to, two receiving touchdowns, including the game winner, 81 receiving yards at minimum, Donnie, for J-Jet in 11 of 14 games this year for the Vikings. It truly has been incredible. We'll talk about Minnesota's outlook in the NFC in just a moment, but they are still within striking distance of both the division in the NFC North and the conference's number one overall seed. But because of the Seahawks' loss, the Rams are sitting pretty atop the NFC West. Earlier in the day, on the road in cold MetLife Stadium, the team from sunny Southern California gets a big win, 19-9 over the New York Jets. L.A. covers as a three-point road favorite. Total of 46.5 stays under. DRS, I think the overall betting perception was this game might be a shootout, with Aaron Rodgers playing well, Matthew Stafford in this Rams offense, and maybe, just maybe, the Jets could play spoiler on a cold Sunday afternoon in East Rutherford. Neither of those things came to fruition. The Rams off to a 1-4 start this year, have now won 8 of their last 10 games.
Yeah, Quinnen Williams was down yesterday in the middle of that defensive line, so you figured that would open up the running lanes here for the Rams, and it did. 23 carries for a buck, 22 and a touchdown for Kyren Williams. You saw Matthew Stafford only had 19 passes attempted, 110 yards, and was still good enough. And the Jets actually took the early lead 6-0, but an ominous sign. You're going to miss an extra point. This was the only bet I lost yesterday. I like the Jets team total over 20.5, had a decent start to it here, but when the Rams needed the victory, they got it here. And I was talking about that fool's gold for the New York Jets, where you would finish out the season with a couple wins for Aaron Rodgers and they would play well to buy in next year. They go out with a thud with a 10-point loss at home against the Rams.
4-11 NFC playoff picture, NFC South comes your way up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Huge Sunday in the NFC South because of two things. Well, one, that was very likely, but because of the narrative in Atlanta in the quarterback change, in one that was a little bit less likely on a Sunday night. Sunday night football in Dallas. The Cowboys as a 3.5-point home underdog, 4.5-point home dog by the time we got to kick, because the Cowboys were eliminated earlier in the day based on other results from NFC playoff contention. In the Bucs needed to win a game to stay in pole position and first place in the NFC South. That did not happen. Dallas plays spoiler, much to Donnie's chagrin, or maybe not Donnie's chagrin. He's laughing as an Eagles fan, but to the idea that they did not win a game or won a game they should not have. Either way, Dallas wins 26-24 outright as a 4.5-point home underdog. Turnovers late, the issue for the Buccaneers. They got the football back, needing just a field goal to win the game in just over a minute.
How about that? Dallas Cowboys out here in the streets. Yeah, just over a minute with that win, 26-24, which was impressive for the Cowboys because, to me, as we start off the show, the better team all the way through. And usually it's the Dallas Cowboys blowing games late with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and their quarterback Baker Mayfield pulling games out. 31 of 43, 303 yards, two touchdowns and one interception. Should have been good enough to win, but some crazy plays, including a deep shot to Jalen McMillan, which looks like it was a touchdown pass that turned into an interception. Then they get the football back down too late in that ball game, and they fumble after a pass out of the backfield, which you certainly can't have with Rashard White. But having said that, the Dallas Cowboys, and look, if you were a handicapper or a better last night, if you cashed in on Cooper Rush's over 1.5 touchdowns, no, you didn't. If you cashed in on Bucky Irving getting a touchdown, congratulations. Outside of that, like, Rico Dowdle is probably a high on your list of saying, you know what, there's a running back that's going to have a good game, at least score a touchdown. It's going to be Rico Dowdle. He doesn't score a touchdown. Why? Because Zeke Elliott got one carry in this football game for 1 yard and one touchdown. You flip it over to the wide receivers. Mike Evans, hey, how about this? Zero touchdown catches in a game where they scored 24 points. CeeDee Lamb had 105 yards receiving. No touchdown catches in this game. Why? Because it went to Jalen Tolbert. Let's understand this, because we are going to analyze the final schedules coming down the stretch for the Atlanta Falcons, who weren't supposed to be in the driver's seat, who now find themselves in the driver's seat after a victory against the New York Giants, which we'll get to. And then you look at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who, if they would have just beaten the Dallas Cowboys, probably would have wound up winning that division, barring a disaster due to the scheduling that they have. But understand this. I'm enjoying the Tampa Bay Buccaneers season so far. This shows you the resurrection of Baker Mayfield, who was unceremoniously thrown out of Cleveland because of a shoulder injury. And I say this all the time. If Baker Mayfield didn't play that final season in Cleveland all the way through with the shoulder injury to tough it out for his team, he'd still be their starting quarterback today. Goes to Carolina, goes to Los Angeles, finds himself a home with the Buccaneers, goes last year, wins a division, gets a home playoff game, beats the Philadelphia Eagles. Loved what you saw, and even more so this year. This has been an injured team without all of their complement. Even yesterday, when you talk about Cade Otton, you say, well, Donnie, Cade Otton's not a big deal here. No, he was one of those pass catchers while all of those wide receivers were down that you can absolutely lean on at this point. But also, let's focus on the Dallas Cowboys and what this means at 7-8. Mike McCarthy, like, if you're an honest assessment here, are they playing for Mike McCarthy? Yes, they are. But can Mike McCarthy be that coach that gets the Dallas Cowboys over the hump? I don't think so. Like, Dak Prescott is going to come back and be an effective quarterback. We understand that. The Dallas Cowboys will probably find themselves a starting running back, no doubt about it. But if you remember all those thoughts, like, hey, you know what the perfect pickup would be in the offseason now? Like, when you had a bad season and ended up with Zeke Elliott when he was healthy coming out of Ohio State? Ashton Jeanty, wouldn't it be the perfect complement to that Dallas Cowboys offense to jumpstart that team? But every single game you win makes it harder to get those impactful players. And understand this, nobody technically wants to see their team lose if you're a fan, but you have to be a realist as well. The Dallas Cowboys winning football games is absolutely hilarious. You should be doing the opposite right now. You should be losing out at this point here, and the Dallas Cowboys certainly aren't doing that. But flipping it back over to the Buccaneers, you heard the post-game press conference with Baker Mayfield. They have to handle what they can handle. There's two games left on their schedule. They'll be favored in both of those. And the Atlanta Falcons, a little bit different of a scenario. After that victory against the New York Giants, they have to go on the road against the Washington Commanders, which will be a tough game. I did like what I saw out of Michael Penix. And also keep in mind, if you look at those final statistics, which didn't jump off the page, just over 200 passing yards here, doesn't throw a touchdown, throws an interception. Keep in mind, the Atlanta Falcons intercepted two passes and ran that back for touchdowns. That's two possessions that Michael Penix didn't have against that bad Giants defense. But understand this, we love the fact that Atlanta actually went with Michael Penix to get him ready for that Commanders game, and probably thinking it might not even matter because the Buccaneers will be favored on the way out. Well, how about that? The Buccaneers lost last night to the Dallas Cowboys, and Michael Penix, as a rookie, has a chance to lead the Atlanta Falcons into the playoffs. It's a wonderful Monday on a holiday week right here on the Sports Grid Network. We'll be right back.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains August 15th through the 18th. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.